Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Tainus Daf Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur, the second line from the top of Daf Tes. On the side of the Gemara, you'll notice a mivneh, a structural note, which explains the markings that we see. As you open up with today's Gemara, you notice a crown shape, and that features shnei maisim, two incidents, two stories. Rabbi Yochanan Pogesh HaBen Shel Reish Lakish. We'll see that Rabbi Yochanan encounters the son or the orphan of Reish Lakish, because the story features Rabbi Yochanan meeting this child after Reish Lakish, his father, had already died. It might be noteworthy that this is an uncle meeting his nephew, because Rabbi Yochanan's sister married Reish Lakish. In our previous shiur, we ended off with a drosha, aser te'aser, and on the top line you can see this is aser bishvil shetis asher, that one is to take tithes, and in the merit of taking tithes, he is told by the Torah that he will become wealthy. Ashkechei Rabbi Yochanan, we are starting the Gemara, Ashkechei Rabbi Yochanan, the Anuka de Reish Lakish. Ashkeche means he met, in other words, he met up with. Rabbi Yochanan met up with the child of Reish Lakish. And as we said, this is the nephew of Rabbi Yochanan. And take note of the fact that we have a long marking running down the left-hand side of the Gemara, indicating that all of this, half the Omid practically, is dedicated to these two stories, two maisim. Omar Lay. So Rabbi Yochanan says to the boy, Emo li psukecha. Say the posuk. Say a posuk that you just learned. Omar Lay, I just learned. He said, aser te aser. Omar Lay, umay aser te aser. Well, after the child said the posuk, he then asked, even though in the Gemara there seems to be an Omar Lay twice, which usually indicates a change of speaker, here Rashi points out that the second Omar Lay is still the child speaking. So he asks his uncle, Umay Aser Taser, what is the meaning of that pasuk? The double expression, Omar Lay, Rabbi Yochanan says, Aser Bishvil Shetis Asher. Just like we saw at the end of our previous shiur. Take tithes in order to become wealthy. Omar Lay Minoloch. So the child asks, how do you know that? Omar Lay, so Rabbi Yochanan answers, Zeal Nasi. Go test him out. In other words, separate tithes and see if in fact you don't become, receive more in return. Omar Lay, so the child said back, Umi Shori Linesu L'Kodesh Baruch Hu, is it mutter to test the Almighty? If the pasuk says, Lo Sinasu Es Hashem, don't test Hashem, don't put him to the test. Omar Lay, Rabbi Yochanan says back, Hochi Omar Rabbi Shaya, Rabbi Yochanan quotes his Rebbe Rabbi Shaya, Chutz Mizu. This is an exception, the realm of taking tithes in order to become rich. Is something that Hashem himself tells you. He puts you to the challenge. Test me out. Shinemar, now we have a posuk. The posuk itself lasts a number of lines, 5 lines of Gemara. Haviu eskol hamasar el beis ha'oitzar v'teref b'veisi. Bring all the maisrus to the storage area, Uvechanuni no bezos, Omar Hashem, Tzevokos, and test me out in this matter. Im lo eftach lochem es arubais hashamayim, if I don't open up the windows of the heavens, v'harikosi lochem brocha ad blidoi, and I bestow upon you, I pour out upon you a blessing, increase, prosperity, ad blidai, without any end. In other words, endless prosperity as a result of what? Of your tithing your income. My ad blidai, what does that expression mean? Omar Romi Barchamo, Omar Rav, ad shivolu sifsosechem miloimar dai, until your sifsosechem, your lips, get, yivolu means worn out by saying dai. Now, on the most superficial level, it's a case where, let's say, you are gaining profit, money, and you're getting more and more and more, and you say, wow, it's enough, 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 it's so much. There's a pshat that I once heard in this context where the ad blidai, Rav says, it means until your lips get worn out saying the word dai. Technically, the word dai, the dalid, is not pronounced with one's lips. The letter bays, for example, the letter pay, those are lip-oriented pronunciations. But the dalid is not. So that by saying, until your lips get worn out, saying dai, your lips are never going to get worn out. So that the bracha that is described here in the pasuk is a bracha that is endless. Omar Le, the yanuka, the child, says back to his uncle, "Ihavis moti hosam lahai psuka, if I had reached in my own Torah learning that pasuk, the pasuk in Malachi." At this point in my learning, the child says, I haven't reached that. So you can see he's a rather young boy, and he hasn't reached Malachi in his learning. So he says, if I had reached that pasuk, lo havis tzarich nolochu lehoshaya raboch, I wouldn't have needed you nor your Rebbe Revoshaya. In other words, had I learned that pasuk, I would have understood on my own that In fact, the area of tithing is an exception to the rule, where, generally speaking, we are not allowed to put Hashem to the test, to challenge Him. But with regard to tithing, tithing one's produce, one's income, that is an exception. V'su ashkechei Rabbi Yochanan liyanukei d'reish lokish. And on another occasion, v'su means again, another time, Rabbi Yochanan met his nephew, the Yosef v'Omar. The child was saying, and he quotes a pasuk from Mishlei, so it could very well be that that this is a later story. The previous story, we saw that he had learned only Chumash, and he hadn't reached Malachi, which is in the section of the Tanakh of the Nevi'im, at the end of Nevi'im, and here we see the child is saying a pasuk from Mishlei. So the What does the pasuk say? Iveles odom tesalev darkoi ve'al Hashem yizayif libo. Let's take a look at the Rashi. The Rashi we're looking at is the upper part of the narrow lines. Iveles odom tesalev darkoi ve'al Hashem yizayif libo. Kishodom chote, when a person sins, mesalev darkoi sheboyin olof pegoyim. As a result of a person sinning, misalef, siluf is something that's contorted, something that's strange, something that's unusual. In this case, a person's ways are ruined. In other words, a person has a normal life with health and happiness, but upon sinning, so a person is beset by punishment, by troubles that Hashem brings upon him. Sheboyin olof pigoyim. That's what that means. That pigoyim, punishments, being beset by troubles, come upon him. The Al Hashem Yizaf Libo, and that very same person then gets angry. And Hashem Shekoyes, he gets angry. And the person is in wonderment. Why is this happening to me? But the person has sinned. And yet, for some obvious reason, a person doesn't associate the troubles and the setbacks that he is suffering with the sins. So the Pasuk is saying just that, that Ivela saw them to Salef Darko, because of the sins of a person, so his ways get upset, get ruined by troubles and punishments. Val Hashem is Aflibo, and then he gets angry, expresses his wrath at Hashem. Yosef Rabbi Yochanan v'komatma. Rabbi Yochanan heard this Pasuk and he was wondering, Omar, and he said, is there anything that's written in the later writings, in the Ksuvim, the lo remizi b'raisa, that there's no remez to this in the Torah? Rashi points out that the Chumash is the basis of the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim, of the later, of the prophets and the later writings. And uvekulon yesh semach limtsoi min haTorah, in anything that you find in the Nevi'im and Ksuvim, there is a hint, there is a parallel or a hint or some reference in the Torah, in the book, five books of Moses, in the Chamish Chumshei Torah, to that which you find in later writing. So upon hearing this pasuk, Rabbi Yochanan is questioning, is there a basis for this in the Torah itself? Amalei, so the child says back, Otu ha mi lo remizi, is this not alluded to, hinted to in the Chumash itself, the Hoksiv? The pasuk says, in the context of the brothers of Yosef, when they returned from Mitzrayim with the sacks of grain and food that they were bringing back to Eretz Canaan, to their father, and they discovered the very money that they had paid for it was returned to them. And this caused them to be upset. And it says, Vayetze libam vayecherudu ish el achiv lemor. They were overtaken by fear. Mazois osa Elokim lanu. What has Hashem done to us? So their first reaction when they're beset by trouble is to express their discontentment with the Almighty. So you see that very point that the Pasuk in Mishlei mentioned is hinted to over here. Dal Eine v'chaza bay. Rabbi Yochanan had what seems to be heavy eyelashes, and they covered his eyes, and he had to. Moran Bovakama says that he had to lift them with his eyelids with tweezers in order to see what was all around him. So he dal Eine, he lifted up his eyes v'chaza bay, and he saw the boy. Also, Ime, his mother, it's Rabbi Yochanan's sister, came afikte, and she took him away. She took the boy away. She took her son away. Omro le, she says, Tomi kame. She says to her son, come from him. In other words, go away from him. The lo levid loch ki avad laavuch. He, Rabbi Yochanan, shouldn't do to you what he did to your father. Well, of course, this presupposes the knowledge of the Gemara that is in Bava Metzia, in the seventh parak, where Rabbi Yochanan had given I call it the rabbinic look to Reish Lakish, as a result of the incident that took place over there in Maseches Bava Metzia. But as a result of that look, Reish Lakish died. And the boy's mother is afraid that Rabbi Yochanan is going to do the same thing to her son. So she says, get away from him, come with me, that he shouldn't do to you what he did to your father. And of course, Rabbi Yochanan was struck by the kid's sharpness, and what that could lead to is untold. So the mother took the precaution of taking her son away. As I said, in order to appreciate this a little more, one would have to study the incident there in Bava Metzia. Highly recommended, but not for right now. Now, as we go on in the Gemara, we have a a topic heading on the side, the Nosei, Motor Bishvil Yochid, Parnoso Bishvil Rabim. Just another word before we explain that, also take note of the structure where we have the Mivneh featuring a diamond. They're marked off as 1 and 2 on Omid Beis. You'll notice toward the top Reish Lakish appears, and he says he touches upon the same theme here of Motar Bishvil Yochid, which means that rain will fall even if it's an individual that needs the rain. However, Parnosa is a reference to bounty and profit, increase, not just maintenance, which is referred to by rain. Rain is as Rashi explains, has to do with a person whose property isn't up to par of all those around him. His crops aren't up to par, so the rain will fall so that his grains, his vegetation shouldn't be worse than those that are around him. So that can happen for an individual. However, profit and bounty, that doesn't happen for an individual. That happens only if numbers of people, the rabbim, need it. So now the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Now the triangle indicates this is another one of the series of Rabbi Yochanan comments. And as we said, the diamond is here to show the connection. Eventually we'll see the connection between what he says now and what appears on Omid Beis. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Motor Bishvil Yochid, Parnosa Bishvil Rabim. And the Gemara goes over these points with the sources. So that Motor Bishvil Yochid, as we said, means that rain will fall even if it's falling for just one person, for an individual. However, when it comes to Parnosa, Rashi explains, Rashi says, Parnosa's Shefa Toiva Umichio L'chol Olam. Shefa Tova, a lot of plenty, the situation of plenty and sustenance for everybody, that Eino Bo L'Olam B'Shus Echad Ela B'Shvil Rabim. Shim Rabim Tzrichim Sova Shetishlach Brocha B'Tvua Kosh Brocha Oise Im Zochu. If the multitudes of the rabbim, if the public merits profit, then in their merit, so they will receive that bounty and plenty, plentifulness. That happens only if the public merits it. However, a private person, he may have merits, but if he is alone with his merits, he won't necessarily receive parnosa. Motar, yes, but not parnosa. Now, the sources for this, Motar Bishvil Yochid, Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Yiftach Hashem L'cho es oitzoro atov l'seis metar artzecho. So you see, we dashed on the word L'cho. L'cho is you, second person singular. Hashem will open his heavens and bring rain for even the individual. Parnosa Bishvil Rabim, Tichtiv, Hinani Mamtir Lochem Lechem. And the Lochem is second person plural. I will bring for you, and the Pasuk there was describing the Mun, which was sustenance and plentifulness for the masses. Meisvei, now here we have a question. This is a long question. It takes in a very long Tanaic source, and at the end of the Tanaic source, so you can see the question comes to a head where it says, Almo Ashkan Parnosa Bishvil Yochid. That's after we learn this whole source, then we will see that very point, that Parnosa comes because of the individual. So, before we begin the source, we should also note that we have here a subtopic heading where we've written Gimel Matonis toivos, three presents from the Almighty, bishus gimu parnosim tovim, in the merit of three great leaders. That's what we will be discussing shortly. Meisvei, so here we are to challenge that which Rabbi Yochanan taught us, that parnosa cannot come or doesn't come if only an individual merits it. We're going to see to the contrary. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shloisha Parnosim Toivim Omdu LiYisrael. There were three Parnosim, are leaders, three good leaders that rose for the benefit of Israel. Eluhain, Moshe, V'Aaron, U'Miriam. And when we mention the three Parnosim Toivim, you'll see in the course of this brisa we're saying three leaders that served simultaneously, served at the same time. And they were, of course, the brothers and sister, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. The Gimel Matonas Toivas, Nitnu al Yodam. And through them, we received three fine gifts. Elohein Be'er, a wellspring, of a source of water. The Anon, the clouds of glory, that had quite a bit of miraculous attributes. And Umon, and the heavenly food. Be'er b'schus Miriam. The Be'er came in the merit of Miriam. Omud Onon, the clouds of glory that protected the Jewish people during the 40 years sojourn in the wilderness, was b'schus Aaron. Mon b'schus Moshe. And the Mon was in the merit of Moshe. Mesa Miriam, upon the death of Miriam, Nistalik HaBe'er. The well disappeared. Shenema vatomos shom Miriam. The pasuk records her death. Uksiv basre, and right afterwards it says v'lohoya mayim la'ida, and the nation didn't have water. V'chazra b'schus shnehem, and the well did return in the merit of Aaron and Moshe. However, meis Aaron nistalku anane kovet, upon the death of Aaron, the entity that came in his merit now departed, the clouds of glory. Shinemar, and how do we know that? The pasuk says, "Vayishma Kanani Melech Arod," and the king of Canaan heard Hakanani, the king of Arod, he heard something, and then he waged war with the Jewish people. Mashmua Shoma, what did he hear? Shoma Shemes Aroin. V'nistalku anane kovet. He heard of the death of Aaron, and with that, the departure of the clouds of glory that were a miraculous source of protection, arrows and other projectiles that were cast in the direction of the Jews were repelled or absorbed by these clouds protecting the nation. However, with their becoming exposed, so he took that as a sign, because Savur nitno lo rishus li lochem b'Yisrael. And he took that as a sign that he can war with Israel. V'hainu dichtiv, and that's what is referred to in the following pasuk. V'yiru kolo edo ki gova Aharon. Now, this pasuk is explained in the bracketed section that you can see. How we see in this pasuk what was just mentioned. But right after the brackets, the brisa picks up, where you can see, if you skip the brackets momentarily, as a result of with Aaron's death, so we said that the Anani HaKovod went away, and Chozru Shnehem B'schus Moshe, the Be'er and the Onon, came back in the merit of Moshe. So that in addition to the Mon that was there initially because of Moshe, the Be'er and the Onon that had in the meantime departed, the Onon departed with the death of Aaron, and the Be'er with the death of Miriam. It seems from the Gemara, even though it doesn't say it straight out, but with Aaron's death it seemed that the Mayim, that the Be'er also had departed, and they're both coming back now in the merit of Moshe. And that is the reason that this source is brought here. Why? Because you see here, Parnosa, you see the plenty is represented by the wellspring and the cloud and the mon, all in the merit of one person. So at the end of this Tanaic source on the third wide line, Alma Ashkelon Parnosa Bishvil Yochid. So you see that contrary to what Rabbi Yochanan taught, Parnosa does come in the merit of one. Okay, we'll get back to that when we go over this again, but now we mentioned the bracketed section. The king of Arod, the Kanani, the king of Arod, heard that Aaron died and the departure of the clouds, and he thought that that was a sign for him to war. And the Gemara says that that's alluded to in this pasuk that said, "Vayiru kol ha'edo ki gova Aaron." Gova means an expression meaning death. Omar Rebbe Avo, al tikri vayiru. Don't read the pasuk in the simple, or don't understand the pasuk. Even though you would read it as that when you read this pasuk in the shul, in the synagogue, when you're reading the Torah, you'll read Vayiru Kol Eda, but don't understand it as that. Ela Vayiru. That means they became exposed. So if you go back to the pasuk, let's read it again with this understanding. Vayiru Kol Eda Ki Gova Aaron. The nation became exposed Ki Gova Aaron. Now what does Ki mean? And this is explained in the next couple lines, that the word ki means, in this case, it means because. The nation became exposed because of the death of Aaron. And that's what we were saying before, that the clouds had been there in the merit of Aaron, and with his death, so they departed. So because of his death, they became exposed. And here the Gemara deals with that little word ki, but it's a very flexible word throughout the Torah. Kidorish Reish Lakish. As Reish Lakish explains, Yom Reish Lakish, the ki, that word that we dashed underlined in the pasuk, Mishamish Ba'arba Lishonas, it has four different possible meanings. They are E, Dilma, Ela, Deha. E, if, Dilma, perhaps, Ela, but, and Deha, because. And we're dashed underlining Deha because that is the word we need. That's the meaning of the word ki that we need in this instance. So just to go over the pasuk once again, the Vayiru is Vayiro'u kol ha'eda. The nation, the Eda, the community, the nation became exposed. Ki gova Aaron. Ki is Deha gova Aaron. Deha meaning because Aaron died. We continue with the Braisa. Chazru Shnehem Bishus Moshe. The Be'er and the Onon came back in the merit of Moshe. Meis Moshe Nistalku Kulon. And with the death of Moshe, they all departed. The Be'er, the Onon, and the Mon. Shinemar, the posuk that says this, Va'akhid Shloshes Horoyim B'Yerech Echad. And I will remove the three shepherds, the three leaders, in 1 month. V'chi B'Yerech Echad Mesu. Did Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam die in the same month? Not so. Hallo Miriam Mesa B'Nisan. V'Aaron B'Av U'Moshe B'Ador. So you have three different months. It's true they died in the same year, but each one in a different month. Ela Malamed. But so what does the pasuk mean when it says I will remove the three leaders in 1 month? Ela Malamed. This teaches us Shinizbaklu Gimu Matonas Toivois Shinitnu Al Yodon, that the three gifts that the Jewish people received through them, with the death of Moshe, so all three gifts were removed. Alma, what do we see from this? Ashkechan Parnosa Bishvi Yochid. As we pointed out before, and you can use the little arrow that you see to the side of the Gemara, that Parnosa comes in the merit of one, in this case, Moshe Rabbeinu. So that is the challenge to Rabbi Yochanan, who said before that Parnassus is only Bishvil Rabbin. The Gemara answers, Shiny, Moshe. Moshe is different. He's not the classic case of an individual. Kevon de la Rabim hu boi, since he was needed by the public, he was the leader of the people. Kerabim domi has the status of Rabim. And with that, we defend Rabbi Yochanan's point that Parnosa comes only if the public merits it. And that, again, is it's in the merit of the public and not a situation where if an individual has merits that he will be zoche to parnosa, parnosa meaning plenty or bounty. Now, here we have a bracketed section, and we have a bracket explanation on the side. We have noted, Acharei ha-sograyim, ha-gemor mamshicho be'inyin geshem b'shvil yochid. After the brackets, the Gemara will continue with this idea of geshem, of rain falling because of an individual, or because an individual needs it. B'sorcha muvah shnei ma'isim im Rav Papa. Within the brackets, there'll be two incidents involving Rav Papa. And the connection between the stories and that which we just had happens to be the posuk that was quoted in the Braisa for Achid es Shleishes Haroyim B'Yerech Echad. So with that in mind, we'll be able to appreciate the connection. You'll notice at the side of the Gemara under our Mivneh heading, a volcano shape, a trapezoid appears, and we've indicated Shnei Maisim im Rav Papa. They highlight Rav Papa's name, reflecting two incidents. Hameshutaf Lohem, the common theme between the two incidents, the two stories, Hu Pegia Bechvodo. We'll see Rav Papa being insulted, or say troubled. And with that in mind, we start the bracketed section. The Gemara opens up here with three rabbis, Rav Huna bar Manoach, Rav Shmuel bar Idi, Rav Chia mi Vastinya. Vastinya is the name of a place, or of Chia from Vastinya. Havushchichi kamei de Rava. They were regulars by Rava. Rava, they learned by Rava. Kinoch nafshe de Rava, when Rava passed away, Osu le kamei de Rav Papa. They came to learn by Rav Papa. Rav Papa was in fact a student of Rava, so they wanted to continue their learning with Rav Papa. Kol emas dehava omar lehu shmeitza, whenever Rav Papa would say something, velo havu mistabro lehu, and they didn't accept it, didn't appeal to their logic, havu miramzi adodi, they would motion to one another, they would make faces or hand motions, gestures to one another, that it's not the same as it was with Rava. Cholash daite. So Rav Papa felt bad. Akriyuha b'chalme, and Rav Papa was shown in his dream, or he was made, Rashi says, Akriyuha, at the top of Omid Beis, hayumakrin oyser mikroze b'chalom. They read to him in his dream. What did Rav Papa then hear or see in his dream? The pasuk, the Achid es Shloishes Haroyim, and that was the pasuk that we saw in the Braisa, and you can see we have a star to the right-hand side of the Gemara that ties it back into that Braisa, if you want to find it more quickly. So this is what he was shown. Now, the Shloishes Haroyim is a reference to the three, those three that were causing Rav Papa embarrassment or frustration or pain. So the Pasuk is saying, I will remove them, I will get rid of them. In other words, it's forecasting their demise. Lamochar, the next day, ki havu miftari minei, when the three left Rav Papa, Omar lehu, he said to them, leizlu rabbonon b'shalma. Go on your way, b'shalma. Now, in Meforshim, you can find there's a first of all, there's an alternative girsa, l'shalma. It's just a word about this. The Gemara in Bracha says that one should not say bishalom, because with the beis in front of the word, that's a term you would use in the context of the dead. You might say to a body on its way to being buried, you say lech bishalom. The word shalom preceded with the beis has a negative connotation, and that's elaborated upon in the Gemara in Brachas. There's another, so he knew from this that there was this dream of a prophetic nature that they're going to die, so he used the expression that you use with the dead. Lech, you know, lezlu rabbona go bishalma, the beis. Now there's another girsa that you see on the side, lishama, and that's the expression that one should use when he wants to wish someone a good trip, and they should be well. You say the word lishalom with the lamed in front of it. So if you adopt that girsa, so here Rav Papa was knew that they that this there was a prophetic dismal report regarding them about their impending death. So he wanted to counter that with a blessing, lech lishalom, that death should not befall you. We continue with a second story. Rav Simi bar Ashi have a shchiach kameh de Rav Papa. Here's someone else that was a regular, that was commonly found by Rav Papa, learning by Rav Papa. Have a makshi le tuva. Rav Simi used to ask him a lot of questions. And it would seem that the questions were asked in public in the midst of Rav Papa's holding forth in a Torah lecture, or giving a shir, and Rav Simi would ask him a lot of questions. Yumachad, one day, Chazia, Rav Simi saw the nofal al ape, that Rav Papa fell on his face, but that's an expression that could very well mean what we call the prayer of Nefilas Apayim. Sham, it's a prayer, the Nefilas Apayim that we practice follows the Shmoyne Esrei. And in this prayer, one beseeches for heavenly mercy. And Shamei de Omar, and Rav Simi heard Rav Papa saying, Rachmona litzlan mikisufa de Simi. God, save me from mikisufa, from the embarrassment caused by Simi. And embarrassment was by all the questions that Rav Simi was challenging Rav Papa, and as I indicated before, very likely in a public setting, that would certainly be reason for the embarrassment. So upon hearing this, Simi then kobil aleish dikuso vesulo akshile, accepted upon himself silence and refrained from that kind of questioning. The Afrei Shlokish Sovar Motor Bishvil Yochanan, Reish Lakish too, like Rabbi Yochanan, holds that rain will come even if an individual needs it. And here we have a long point marking, take note of that. The Omar Reish Lakish Minayim Lemotor Bishvil Yochanan, from where do we know that motor, rain, which is, as we saw before, is designed to maintain a person's crops, that they shouldn't be worse than those of the people around him. So from where do we know that motor comes even if an individual needs it? Tichtiv, shalu me'ashem motor be'eis malkush Hashem o'isech chazizim u'motor geshem yitein lohem lo'ish esev basodeh. Now, the pasuk, without getting into a literal translation, you can see the pasuk is dealing with motor, with rain, and it says in the pasuk, yitein lohem lo'ish. Yochol lakoil, could it mean that that only if the masses need the rain, then it comes? Talmud lomar lo ish, it comes even for the individual. V'tanya, then we have a brisa that elaborates on this. I leish yochol lechol sadoisov, if you say that rain comes for an individual, does it come only if all of his fields need the rain? Talmud lomar sodeh, in the pasuk that we read, it said the word sodeh in the singular, a field. I sodeh, if that be the case, then yochol lechol hasodeh, does that mean that rain will fall only if his entire field needs the water? Talmud lomar esev. Esev means an individual, literally, esev is a grass or an individual plant. Ki hod Rav Daniel bar Katina, like is illustrated with the story involving Rav Daniel, havelei hahi ginsa. He had a garden. Kol yoima have ozel v'sayer lo. Every day he went to sires to check it out. Omar, and he said, ha mishra bayomaya, v'ha mishra lo bayomaya. This row needs water, and this row doesn't need water. V'yosa mitra v'komashki kohecha demivile maya, and rain came, and it watered just those areas in his garden that needed the water. Now, above we quoted a posuk, and here we're going back to that quote, and the arrow to the left-hand side of the Gemara text ties you up to where it was before. Mai Hashem oisei chazizin. What does that mean? Melamed Omar Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina Melamed shekol tzadik v'tzadik Hakadosh Baruch Hu oisei loy chaziz b'fnei atzmo. It teaches us that each righteous individual Hakadosh Baruch Hu makes for him his own chaziz. Now, in the next couple lines, we're going to see words that aren't clear, and the Gemara will clarify them as we go along. So the Gemara asks, "My chazizim, what is meant by chazizim in the plural?" So, Omar Rabbi Yehuda porchos, and if we skip the bracketed half line, "My porchos." It's very nice that you say that chazizim in the plural means porchos, but what are porchos? And Rav Papa answers, it's Evo Klisha Tusi Evo Semichta. So we'll go over this again, but first let's go over with the bracketed section. After the Gemara asked, "My chazizim," so Rav Yehuda answered, "Porchos." Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Simin Lamotar, the sign of rain, Porchos. So Porchos signal rain. My Porchos, well, what is Porchos? Omar Rav Popo, Aiva Klisha Tusi Aiva Semichta. An Aiva is a cloud. It's a case where you have an Aiva Klisha, a thin cloud, underneath a thick cloud. Omar Rav Yehuda, Nihila. Nihila is a reference to a misty, fine type rain. Mekami Mitra, if the first precipitation that appears is a misty type rain, Osi Mitra, it's a harbinger of rain to come, a full-fledged rainfall. Bosar Mitra. However, let us say you have initially there was a downpour, and then there is this misty type rain, Posik Mitra. That's a sign that the rain will be stopping immediately. And the Gemara goes over this with ways to identify these things. Mekami Mitra Osi Mitra, the mist as a harbinger, as a forebearer of rain. The Simonech Mehulta, the parallel, the simon, the hint to that, or the parallel to that is Mehulta, is sifting. Rashi explains that when you, let's say, load flour into a sifter, so initially a very fine powder comes forth, and at the end you're left with large pieces of bran. So initially you have the fine powder, and then you're left with the chunky bran. And that's the parallel to the misty rain, and then the large raindrops, the full-fledged rain. The Bosar Mitra Posik Mitra, the mist after a rain, indicates the end of the rain. The Simonech Charya De'izi, the simon, the parallel of that, or the sign of that, is, or how you can appreciate that is by noticing Charya De'izi. Now, what is that? Rashi says, Re'i Shel Izim, it's the defecation of goats. B'tchilo Yotze Gas, at first large pieces come out. U'basof Daka, and then some type of fine material exits, uposek, and then it stops. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a structural note on the side. The double underline highlights the expression ulo iklo lebavel. There's shnei maisim shebahem ulo magia lebavel v'ro'eh. There are two incidents where ulo travels to bavel and he notices. Number one, porchos, and that's the connection to the Gemara just before. He notices these rain clouds, and the second story involves he sees a a basket or a barrel full of tamorim. Tamorim is really, we'll see in the Gemara, is dvash, is honey that comes from tamorim. And he sees that it's there, bezuz, it's sold very cheap, shemefiro bezol. The price is very cheap. And we'll see the story as we go into the Gemara. Number one, Ula Ikla Lebavel, Choza Porchos. He saw Porchos, and we said already it was the thin cloud underneath the thick cloud. Omer Lahu, so Ula said, Panu, money, remove the vessels. In other words, he came to a place and there were vessels outside and they'll get ruined in the rain. So he says, remove the vessels. The Hashta Osi Mitra, rain is going to come now. The Self Lo Osi Mitra. And at the end, the rain did not come. Omar, Ula's reaction to this was, Ki Hechi de Mishakri Bavloi, just like the Babylonians are liars, Hochi Mishakri Mitrayu, so too their rain, the rain clouds are liars. Ula Iklo Lebovel, Chozi Moloi Tsana de Tamri Bezuzo. He saw a tsana as a receptacle that holds tamri. As we said before, tamri is a reference to not dates per se, but it's date honey. Omar, and he said, wow, a whole barrel of date honey for one zuz. He says, molo tsana de duvsha bezuzo ubavloi lo aski boraisa. They have such large amounts of food, very cheap, and they don't learn Torah, they don't learn as much as they could. In other words, where you have a situation where with little money you can buy lots of sustenance, so they could learn more than they do. Balela tsaruhu, that evening, so Ula suffered from diarrhea. Omar, and he realized then that there might be a lot of food for cheap, but it's not, if that's what they're living on, whatever little they can actually in fact learn is to their credit. And he says, Malot sona de sakino bezuzah, a barrel full of knives for Azuz, the knives being something that caused him pain, ubavloi aski boraisan, and the Babylonians nevertheless are able to learn Torah. That's to their credit. Now as we go on, we have a Nose Mivneh heading on the side. You notice a double underline that will feature the names Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Yeshua. There's a machlokes b'mahu mekor hamayim sheba anonim. What is the source of the water that is in the clouds? The Rabbi Lozer Okeanos, according to Rabbi Lozer, it's the waters that are from Okeanos is a reference to the oceans, but we can refer to it as terrestrial or land, what Rashi calls mayim shamata. Mayim means water from the earth's surface, as opposed to the Rabbi Yeshua, mayim el yoinim. The source of water in the clouds is water that comes from the heavens, from above. Bebraisa muvo hamakoros l'chol echod, in the Braisa, sources for each one will be presented. Uma kol echod oine l'sheni, and what each one responds to the other. Now, here's an example of a Gemara that you could translate and then assume it, take it at face value, but there things have to be explained. What is meant by mayim el yoinim, which Rabbi Yeshua refers to? What are those upper waters? Is it a function of water that is this a scientific description, a physical description of what actually takes place? That might be, and if that's the case, so one has to define what mayim el yoinim is on a scientific or a realistic basis. Is it a function of water particles that exist in the stratosphere and they fill up the clouds? That's something that you would have to research scientifically. Bear in mind that there is another dimension of understanding things that are reported in the Talmud. The Talmud is not a work just to share scientific knowledge, but often as is almost always the case, there's some deeper message. So these things have to be looked into more. But as we've said many times in our Gemara markings disclaimer, we're going to give you a translation, and whatever is beyond that, so by all means, check it out further. We continue. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Kol Olam Kulo, Mimei, Okeanus, Ushosa. The world drinks, Shosa drinks, it means the world's sustenance is based on waters from the oceans, or as we say, globe, world surface based waters, and not from the waters from above. Shinemar. Now, the pasuk says, "V'eid yale min haaretz v'hishko es kol pnei ha'adama." This is a pasuk in Bereishis, Perek Beis, in the part of the Torah that deals with the creation, and it says, "A cloud rises from the world, and it's together with it, it's rising, absorbing water from the world's surface, and rising heavenwards. V'hishko es kol pnei ha'adama, and then it releases the water." Watering the ground. But what's the source of the water? It's the terrestrial, or the earth-based water, the mayim of the oceans, as opposed to water from above. Omar lo Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua asks Rabbi Eliezer, "Hello, mei okeanus muluchim hein. The water of the seas is salty. How can that serve to promote agriculture?" Omar lo Rabbi Yeshua answers, Mismaskin be'ovim. Word matok is the root of that word. Matok means sweet. The clouds have the ability to desalinate the water. Rabbi Yeshua oimer, kol olam kulo mimayim ha'yonim hu shoyse. The world derives its water from the upper waters. Shenemar lematar hashamayim tishte mayim. From the matar of Shemayim, from the rains of the heavens, the world drinks its water. Elomani mekayim ve'eid yale min oretz. So then, what are you to make of that pasuk that says that the clouds rise from the ground, bringing up with it the water? So he says, no, melame. That's not the case. It's not that the clouds. It's true that the clouds rise. But it's not that they're rising with the water. Malame chanonim is gabrim v'oilim lorokia, that the clouds gather force and rise heavenwards. Upoischin piem kinoid, they then open their mouths, like a jar has an opening, mouth of a jar, a flask, a node is a flask. Umekablin me motor, and the clouds then serve a vessel to receive the waters from above. Shinemar Yozoku motor leedo, and yozoku is like yotsuk is to pour. So yozoku motor, rain is poured leedo into the clouds. Umirukavosen kikvara, the clouds have holes in them like a kivara, like a sieve. Ubois umechashos mayim algabi. And the clouds come once they've been filled up with the water, and they release. Mechashos is they release the water onto the ground. Shinemar chashras mayim ove shchokim, the release of water from the clouds of the heavens. V'ein bein tipa l'tipa ela kumlo nima. The gap between each drop is like a hair's breadth. Lamdecha to teach us shegodol yoyim hakshamim ki yoyim shenivru bo shamayim v'aretz. The this word lelamdecha is not the pasuk that we just read, but rather it's going on that which we're going to see momentarily. As Rashi says, it's akra v'lekamon. The pasuk that we're going to see shows us that rain, the day of rainfall, is like the day of creation. This is a point, by the way, that we saw at the very beginning of the Masichta. Shenemar, the pasuk says, and should note that we're looking at psukim in Iov, Perek Hei, pasuk Tes, and then pasuk Yud, and that will be followed by a pasuk in Yeshaya. Shenemar, pasuk Tes says, Oisik doilois adein chiker. Uksiv, in pasuk Yud, it says, Hanoisein motor al pnei Oretz. So you see the word cheker in the context of rain. Uksiv lahalon, and in the pasuk in Yeshaya, which deals with the creation, it says halo yodato im lo shamato l'kei oilom Hashem boreg tzois haoretz ein cheker l'sfunoso. So the pasuk says boreg tzois haoretz created the extent of the world, and you see the word cheker there too. The Gemara asks, and you'll see the question is repeated here, Keman Azla, and a few lines later you'll see second line from the bottom again, Keman Azla. Like whom? We had a Machlokas Tanoim between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, and we're going to ask the Psukim that we present to you in these two instances, who does the pasuk more readily appear to be like? And then the question will be, well, it's, you know, if it's a pasuk, what does the other Tana do with that pasuk? Keman az laha dichtiv, mashke horim me'arlio yisov. The mountains are watered from the aliyo yisov. Yomar, Rabbi Yochanan me'arlio yisov shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. From the an aliyah is an upper story, an attic, some upper area. So from the upper areas of the Almighty. Keman. So who does that reflect, that the water comes from the upper? Ki Rabbi Yeshua. That would parallel Rabbi Yeshua that we saw in the Brisa, where he said that the Olam derives benefit from the Mayim El Yoinim. Rabbi Lezer. What's Rabbi Lezer's response to that? He says, Kevan desalki lahasam, since the water rises in the clouds heavenwards, mashke mi'aliyosef kori luhu, the term the waters from above is nevertheless appropriate. The release of the water, whose origin was albeit from the ground, from the world, though that was its origin, the release is from the heavens. It's released from the clouds that have risen with their water, so we can call it Mashke Mal Yosef. De'iloi Teimahochi, if you don't accept this reasoning, you have another pasuk. It says, Avak V'ofor Min HaShemayim, dust and dirt from heaven. Hechi Mishkachas, where do you have dust and dirt in the heavens? You don't have it there. Elokeva de Magli Lahasam, since when a wind blows, it causes the dirt and the dust to rise and eventually fall somewhere else. It's Min HaShemayim Kori Lei. The posuk that says the Avak V'Ofer Min HaShemayim is appropriate. You can call it Min HaShemayim, even though the origin of the Avak and Ofer, the dust and the dirt, is from the ground. Hachanami, so too in our case with regard to the water, Kevan Desalki L'Hasam, since the clouds rise heavenwards with their water in them, Mei Aliyosov Kori Lei. The pasuk can refer to it as Mei Aliyosov, from his upper area. Keman Aslo Hodom Rabbi Chanina. Like which one of our Tanoim would the following teaching of Rabbi Chanina? He quotes a pasuk, Koines Kaneid Mei Hayom Noisein Ba'oitzarois Tahoimois. That's the pasuk, Mi Goram Ba'oitzaros Shiismalu Bar. What causes the silos to be filled with bar? Bar is grain. Tehoimois, the depths. In other words, what causes plant growth? It's that which comes from the depths, the water that comes from the ground, from the world. Keman, who would this teaching most likely reflect? Rabbi Eliezer, that reflects Rabbi Eliezer, who says that the water that the world is sustained by is water from Mato, from the world, from the depths. For Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua says that the water we sustain the world, that the world is sustained from, is from on high. Hahu, so he says that posuk of Kines, Kaneid, Mehayom, Hahu, we continue at the top of Daf Yud, Bevriyosei Shel Olam. That's a pasuk referring to the time of creation. It's not referring to constant rainfall, but rather to the time of creation. And as Rashi explains, when the when the world was created, it was covered with water. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu, in order to expose dry land, he moved the water, gathered it up into one section, and stored up the water in what we call the oceans, thereby exposing what we call the dry land or the continents. So that water of Kones Kaneid Mehayom, Noisiv Otsaros, the Otsaros, he put the water in the Otsaros, he put them in the storage areas of the water into what we would call the oceans, which then stored the water that had originally covered the entire globe's surface. But as far as rain and the source of water for rain, as far as Rabbi Yehoshua is concerned, that's from the Mayim El Yoinim. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, especially in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.